If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, turn to the book of Acts, have a seat. We're going to jump right into things. Last 4 weeks or 3 weeks, we've been looking at different aspects of the Holy Spirit, different ways that the Holy Spirit works in our lives, in our prayer life, Holy Spirit working and helping us to reach people in evangelism. Last week, we looked at how the Holy Spirit's involved in our identity, shaping who we are. And then today, we're going to look at something that many of us know, but it's always good to be reacquainted with it. And it's the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in Holy Spirit baptism. How the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of our lives. It's one of my, a way I can kind of phrase what we're going to, if I could just summarize what we're going to read, Acts chapter 1, looking at verse 4 and 5. It starts like this. It says, "Once when he, Jesus, was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" If Miss Marcia were up here and she were speaking, she would probably have a t-shirt that is made that would just have printed across the front of it, "Don't leave until you receive." Don't leave until you receive. So Jesus is telling them, don't do anything. There's a great mission that I'm placing into your hands. There's great opportunity that is out there to reach people, to see souls saved, to see lives change, to take this good news of the resurrected Savior, our hope, our salvation, our life, this exciting opportunity you have to go into the world and proclaim the good news, but don't leave until you receive the promise. Don't move. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to about 500 of his followers over a 40-day period. At his last appearance before he ascended to heaven, he gave the great promise of Spirit baptism to his followers. 10 days on the day of Pentecost, a day that the Jewish culture called it their harvest festival. It was their first fruits offering. It's when they came with their harvest, and they came to say, "Jesus, thank, or God, thank you for providing for me this year. Thank you for the crops that I have." This festival that they had 50 days after Passover. And here it is. God chooses that moment to be the moment that he sends the Holy Spirit to baptize people and change their lives and destinies. It's on that day that Jesus baptized his followers in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that is amazing to think about. And just the symbolism of choosing the Pentecost Sunday, the day that represented the harvest, to do in that moment, it's pretty neat, because God wanted to see a harvest of lives changed, of souls saved. He wanted to see people bringing their very best to God, saying thank you to God, and again, God worked on that day. When we speak about the Holy Spirit, we are referring to God's personal Spirit. Or sometimes the way I like to describe it, God's empowering presence. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, some misunderstand the Holy Spirit and think the Holy Spirit's strange. We think the Spirit's strange. Sometimes people think the Holy Spirit's dangerous. And let's be honest, sometimes it is a little bit different, because even in our Pentecostal experience, sometimes our only association with things of the Holy Spirit, especially for those that come from the outside in, you might be in here and then you hear somebody praying. Sometimes they just interrupt what seems like they interrupt the service to say something, and then they say something and it sounds a little bit like babbling. You're like, what are they saying? I don't understand what they're saying. Or maybe you're sitting there and you hear somebody praying, and then they're like praying something. You're like, what are they praying? I don't know. I don't understand their words. You're like, listen to that. That's weird. And we don't always like weird. Even though there's some biblical foundation of what is happening, because they're speaking in an unlearned, unknown language, as the Holy Spirit gives them utterance, as the Holy Spirit helps them to communicate that. But on the outside looking in, it feels strange. Or maybe you're like me and you grew up in this environment of the Holy Spirit, and you could see some aspects of things exalted and promoted, like this is the most important part, and you're like, well, all this stuff seems to be neglected over here. what's going on, and you're like really confused about it. It just feels sometimes strange. It's easy to be misunderstood, but yet the Holy Spirit is to be trusted just as we trust Jesus. Jesus said this in John 16, 14, He, the Holy Spirit, will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. Jesus is like, hey, the Holy Spirit can be trusted. Amen. Holy Spirit, when He speaks, He can be trusted. Because He's not out there doing things on His own. He can be trusted. In your life, and in my life, in the life of a believer, you're going to have at least 5 major encounters with the Holy Spirit in your life. There's going to be this moment of convincing or convicting that takes place as the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, helping you to realize who Jesus is, your need of Jesus, and your sin that's in your life, and how God wants to change that. You can see that in John 16:8. Or there's the regenerating, cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gets involved in our lives, He gets to work changing who we are from the inside out. See that in Titus 3:5. Or then you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit is there working inside of you, assuring you and guiding who you are and in assuring your life, who you are in Christ working in you. You see this in places like 1 Corinthians 3:16, Romans 8:9, John 16:13. Or there's the maturing and sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in your life, helping you to grow up, helping you to become more like Jesus in how you act and think and talk. See that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. The outcoming, the crop of the Spirit's work in your life. And then something that is really important that we miss sometimes, the significance of the work in our the Holy Spirit in our lives is empowering and anointing. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses everywhere. The empowering presence of God in our lives. And if there's ever a time in human history that we need it desperately, it is today. I mean, just yesterday, my wife and I were just driving around talking, and she made a comment, nobody even wants to go to church anymore. Just that thought of, man, we need to introduce people to the resurrected Jesus. We need to see people that are hurting experience Jesus' healing and His life. The Holy Spirit empowers us with supernatural ability through Spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit empowers us with supernatural ability through Spirit baptism. So what is Spirit baptism? In Acts 1:8, but you will receive power. Jesus saying this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Spirit baptism is a spiritual encounter, different and separate from salvation. It's empowering you with greater anointing for ministering to others. There's something powerful about how the Holy Spirit can direct us and use us in ministering to people. It's amazing when we'll just listen to the whispers and the guidance of the Holy Spirit when we are ministering to people, because sometimes it might be, hey, let's pray about that. Somebody has a significant need, and you're like, hey, I'm just going to stop right here, and we're just going to pray. That's why this morning when we opened service, I was like, let's pray for Mary Ann. There's those moments where we just pray for that. There's other moments where the Lord might give you a word to say or a phrase to say or might guide a conversation, helping you to listen, to hear what people are saying, and then the Holy Spirit giving you insight into the situation. Sometimes the Holy Spirit saying, hey, bring this up. Talk about this. And then the person looks at you and their eyes get real big. How did you know that? And you're like, I don't know. God told me. And then that gets really weird real quick, but God gets the glory in that situation. The Holy Spirit helps us in ministering to people. When we look at the Bible about Spirit baptism, there's 5 different times in, in the book of Acts where spirit baptism is seen. The day of Pentecost, Acts 2:4. There's converts in Samaria that receive the Holy Spirit in Acts 8:17. You have Saul in Damascus in Acts 9:17. You have the Gentiles in Caesarea in Acts 10:45. And then you have the converts in Ephesus in 19:6. If you were to take time and read those accounts, you will see there is this prerequisite at work. There is something in common about all of them, that all of them who received Spirit baptism were clearly already born again. At some points, right at that moment, they met Jesus, and their lives were changed by Jesus. And then a few steps later, it's like, hey, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus takes the same Holy Spirit who lived inside of you since salvation and drenches you outwardly in his person and his power. When you came to know Jesus and he saved you, Holy Spirit goes in and takes residence in your heart and life. It's pretty cool. There's something powerful about the presence of God being like, I choose to be with you all the time. I choose to be where you are. You don't have to come to where I am. I choose to be where you are. That is a great feeling. That's a great feeling. I mean, my wife and I, when we were first dating, it was long distance, and that was hard. It was hard having 420 miles separating me and her. That wasn't fun. For any of you that's ever experienced that, that's not fun. It's not enjoyable. But it was something neat when we were able to be in the same space all the time. I mean, the Holy Spirit's like, hey, I'm going to take up resident in your heart and in your life. Salvation. But then after salvation, there's a second event that takes place where it's just like, the Holy Spirit's like, okay, now I want to baptize you. Now I want to work in your heart and in your life. And the Holy Spirit's like, hey, I'm going to immerse you in my presence. I'm going to immerse you in my power. I'm going to immerse you in the Spirit. Because now the Holy Spirit, it's on the inside of me, and now on the outside of me. The Holy Spirit is just there with me, working in me, working through me, empowering on me. The Holy Spirit is there inside and out, surrounding my life. So who can receive Spirit baptism? Peter in Acts 2:38, talking to the crowd, he said this, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We've got to start with salvation. God, I believe in who you are. Forgive me of my mess I'm making of my life. I choose to follow you and I choose to walk with you. And then he continues, then you will receive the gift. Gift. Free. Don't you like gifts? I like gifts. Conditional gifts are never fun, are they? Free gifts are amazing. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, who have been called by the Lord our God. Spirit baptism is promised to every follower of Jesus. Jesus promised it. Peter promised it. Salvation is the only prerequisite. Anyone who has been saved is fully qualified to receive Spirit baptism now. Doesn't matter if you're young, you're old, you're male, you're female, you're a new convert, you might even be a struggling believer. God is not looking for you to become more spiritual before you can receive. Receiving now will help you become more spiritual. This verse I shared Wednesday night at prayer meeting, Luke 11:13, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God, I want your Holy Spirit. God, I love the fact that your Spirit is in me when I came a follower of Jesus, but God, I want your Holy Spirit to just envelope my life, to cover my life. I want to be immersed in your presence, God. God, will you give me your Holy Spirit? It's that simple. We want to make it all complex, but it's really that simple. But how can I be sure I've received the Holy Spirit? Because as Jesus said, you ask and you'll receive. You know, I even said earlier, don't move until you receive. Don't do anything until you receive. Don't go anywhere. But how do I know? Acts 2:4. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Scripture gives us one consistent answer. You will begin to pray in a new language as the Holy Spirit prompts you. In the reception accounts where details are mentioned through the book of Acts, the recipients spoke in tongues or an unknown, unlearned language. It was a way they knew that the Holy Spirit was doing something significant in their hearts and in their lives. And this tongue speaking is not the public gifts of tongues with interpretation that we see from 1 Corinthians 12:8 and 11. But rather, it's personally praying in the Spirit that we see more from Romans 8:26 to 27. Paul writes that not everyone will speak publicly in tongues and interpret, as seen in 1 Corinthians 12:30, but encouraged all to pray in tongues, and as he writes this in 1 Corinthians 14:5. I mean, we can't get away from looking at the Bible and realizing, in the New Testament especially, their basic presupposition was that when you become a follower of Jesus, your heart's going to be to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you're going to be people of the Spirit. It was just the attitude that the early church had. They believed that that should be the experience that we have, that we just want all of God, and we want all that God has for us. Now, there's some logical reasons why tongue speaking is associated with confirming sign of spiritual baptism. The first is this, that speaking is our chief means of communication. It's definitely my daughter's mean of communication. Because the minute she wakes up till the minute she sleeps, her mouth, I don't know why her jaw is not wore out every day. She likes to communicate, but isn't that how we communicate, with words? Or to my wife, my facial expressions, because then my wife's like, what are you thinking? Why are you thinking that? What's going on? Because she reads my expressions. I can never read hers. I'm totally lost as to what she's thinking. But she can read me like a book. But words are how we communicate. Another reason is that the main outcome of Spirit baptism is empowered communication. The Holy Spirit helps us to be able to communicate with people. The Holy Spirit helps us to say the right things at the right time in the right way, to communicate the wonders of Jesus to people so that they can experience His life and His salvation, His hope. So we need to realize, hey, the Holy Spirit's involved in helping me do that because the Holy Spirit wants to help me to be His witness. If I'm being His witness, I have to communicate what I've seen and what I've heard. The most effective way is talking. Another reason is that we struggle to control our own tongues. James writes about it in James 3:3-8. I mean, how many of y'all have ever gotten in trouble in the room before because you said the wrong thing? Sometimes we think we're making a joke and it becomes an insult. Sometimes we're just hangry. Sometimes we're just ornery. Sometimes we're just not thinking. And words spill out. They don't even, it's like our brain's not even involved in what comes out of our mouth. It's just words come out. And we get in trouble. We have a difficult time controlling our tongues. And in all honesty, another reason is this: the very last thing we surrender is our freedom of speech. I mean, somebody ties you up. Somebody takes everything away from your life. You're still going to find a way to communicate to them your displeasure in the situation, aren't you? That's the very last thing that can really be taken from you is your ability to communicate your freedom of speech. You're going to say something. You're going to push back. You're going to do something. Everything else can be ripped away from you, but you're going to say something. So how do I receive Spirit baptism? Acts 4:31 in the contemporary English version says it this way: after they had prayed, the meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and bravely spoke God's message. Acts 10:44, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Acts 19:6, then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. The more detailed accounts, when we look at the book of Acts, show an emerging pattern in people receiving Spirit baptism. The first is, I draw near to Jesus in prayer. I get close to Jesus. Jesus is the one that Spirit baptizes. He's the one that sends the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be in us, to be on us. He's the one. So I draw near to Jesus in prayer. Then Jesus begins to pour out His Spirit upon you. Then you begin to speak out loud from the inner urging of the Spirit rather than from known language and reason. Like salvation, Spirit baptism is a free gift. Free gifts are not earned, they're simply received. Thank you, God. You must try to yield and offer your speech to God while the Holy Spirit is upon you. Scripture is clear. You do the speaking and the Spirit does the prompting. As you sense the Spirit being poured out, you may be concerned that you will make a mistake. For some of you, you just need to remember, hey, this is the first time you have tried to speak from your spirit rather than your logic. It might feel risky, but the Holy Spirit will help you. Jesus will fulfill His promise to you. Because He gives good things to us. The free gift of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit on us and over us and with us, that's the best gift ever. God's presence in me saying, hey, I'm with you, you're mine, you belong to me. God's presence on me being like, hey, I'm with you, I'm going to use you to make my name famous in the world. I'm going to be with you whatever you face, no matter what's going on. It could be the fear that comes into your heart because you're having to be very personal with somebody, not knowing how they're going to react. You want to see them experience Jesus, but you don't know how they're going to respond. You don't know if you're going to say the right things. But the Holy Spirit's like, I'll be with you. You might be facing a very big hardship, persecution for your faith, and the Holy Spirit's like, I will be with you. I will help you. You might get in a situation where you're like, okay, God, you need to be glorified in this situation, and the Holy Spirit's like, I will empower you and use you so that I receive all the glory and the honor and the praise. Holy Spirit's a good thing. Holy Spirit's a great thing. The physical part of speaking in tongues requires your yielding and participation. The supernatural part of speaking in tongues is not our speaking, but rather what we are speaking. Jesus wants to reveal Himself to you as your baptizer in the Holy Spirit today. It's deeply spiritual. It's a deeply spiritual moment. It's a deeply vulnerable moment. It's a deeply humbling moment. But this new language will be a sign to you that God will supernaturally guide your speech in new ways as you try to speak to others. So Holy Spirit's like, hey, I'm with you all the way till the end. We're going to make Jesus known together. We're going to see amazing things happen for God's glory together. So at the beginning, I made this statement. Don't leave until you receive. May that be our heart today. God, I'm not leaving this room until I have everything that you want to do in my heart and life today, June 5th, 2022. God, I'm not leaving until you do everything. And then we're going to draw near to Jesus in prayer. And then we're going to trust that Jesus is going to begin to pour out his Spirit upon us. And then we're just going to speak out from the inner urging of the Spirit. We're just going to allow the Spirit to guide our thoughts, our words, because we want to see God be glorified in our lives. Very personal moment between you and Jesus. Very personal. It's not for the show. It's not for the emotion. It's for the connection between us and Father God. It's for the connection between us and Jesus. It's for the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives.